Let's turn over to Revelation 17. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials," which means the last plagues, "and talked with me, saying, Come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The beast upon which the woman rides is the Roman Empire." Now here you'll see, I brought down Mr. Armstrong's booklet called Who or What is the Prophetic Beast. In the booklet, Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast, it clearly explains that the beast is the Roman Empire. Now, the woman that rides the beast is the official religion of the Roman Empire. "He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, having the names of blasphemy and seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed with purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Not only that, but her hand was full of abominations." Now that word appears again, abominations. And the Bible talks about the abomination of desolation. Now here, this woman was full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And Mr. Armstrong explained that the fornication that she committed with the kings of the earth was to get involved in their politics. Now, in fact, you know, the beast itself represented the empire, you know, the state, and the woman represents the religion. So it's church and state. And here, the church rules the state in this scenario. "Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." Now there's that word abomination again. And the Bible, as I mentioned, does talk about the abomination of desolation. And this is it. Now, I talk about the seven millennial days of human history once in a while. And all of this goes back to the dark half of the fourth millennial day, when God turned the earth over to four world-ruling empires after having cast Israel and Judah out of their promised land. This is really important. You have to understand why God allowed the world to be taken over by the beast power. That's what it is. It's the beast system. Because in Daniel 7, it talks about the first beast was like a lion. Then there was the bear, and then there was the leopard with four heads. And then the fourth beast was just a monster. And in Revelation 13, it combines those four elements into one gigantic beast that has all of those elements of the lion and the bear and the leopard. You know, the seven heads, because you add up all the heads, and then the ten horns that were on the fourth beast. It all goes together. Now, what was the purpose of it? It's called Great Babylon in the Bible. And Babylon was God's spanking stick to punish Israel, because Israel wouldn't obey God's commandments. God revealed his law in the days of Moses on the third millennial day. But Israel, you know, after 1,000 years of being in the promised land, and God had revealed his law to them, but they just wouldn't keep it. They just wouldn't. And they turned to other gods and broke all of the commandments, really. And in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, in other words, halfway through the fourth millennial day, God said he was going to put the curses that he had mentioned in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 on Israel and Judah and cast them out of the promised land and turn the world over to other powers. It's just like when Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan, and so God cast them out of the Garden of Eden and said, basically, in effect, you chose to follow Satan, all right, I give you Satan. So God turned the world over to Great Babylon in the dark half of the fourth millennial day. Because ancient Israel did not obey God, God cast them out and turned the world over to Babylon. Now, the United States and Britain are descended from Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. So the United States formed its government, but the whole world really is Babylon. Now, the Roman Empire was the fourth of the four world ruling empires, and then the official religion of it was false Christianity, two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Now here's the woman that rides the beast, and the beast was resurrected over and over again through the Middle Ages. So verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now God is still up there on his throne, and his government is what we want to follow. And that's what Mr. Armstrong did. That's what made the worldwide Church of God so special. And God blessed it because it was on the right track. It followed God's government. It accepted God's government. It taught God's government from the overriding principle of love, subdivided into the two great commandments and the Ten Commandments, all the way down to the spirit of the law, where God's writing his laws in our hearts and minds. And the worldwide Church of God taught that, and nobody else did. Or does. The official religion of the Roman Empire, this woman that rides the beast, they made laws contrary to the law of God, and then the beast power, the Roman Empire, at the behest of the church, would put people to death if they didn't follow the laws that they created, which were contrary to the law of God, the higher law of God. So, she was the mother of harlots. And her daughters that came out of her in protest, they retained her false doctrines. Now, they took the name of Christ, they accepted that, but they held on to the pagan holidays and Sunday and a lot of other things. I could pull out resource material I have that shows you that in the Middle Ages, any human being living in Europe was absolutely dominated by the church. From the day they were born to the day they died. And all through their whole life, the church just ruled over them. Now verse 6. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Now, if you obeyed the law of God in the Middle Ages, you could very well have been declared a heretic and put to death. She was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great astonishment. And the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire. Verse 8, the beast that you saw was. That's point number one. And then it is not. That's point number two. And then point number three is, it shall ascend, it's going to come back or be resurrected out of the bottomless pit. What is the beast? It's the Roman Empire. Just keep your finger here. Go back to chapter 13, Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. Remember when Jesus was facing Satan, and Satan said, "If you will fall down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, because they're mine and I can do it. I give it to anyone I choose." Don't underestimate the influence of angels and evil spirits. God exists, and so does Satan. And there are millions, I suppose billions, of angels. 2/3 of them are holy, and 1/3 of them are unholy. So that holy angels outnumber the demons 2-1. And you can read in the book of Daniel how Michael or Gabriel, you know, they were fighting against the prince of Persia, Satan and the demons, in other words. Now, God is the overall ruler of everything. And God is the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. God put mankind upon the earth, and God is going to see to it that the seventh millennial day, the world tomorrow, is going to come. But meanwhile, God turned the earth over to Satan for a while, and he's there. Now, he's the God of Babylon, you see. That's why God said to Israel, "Don't have any other gods." And Jesus refused to fall down and worship Satan. Jesus kept God's commandments. And that's what the church is supposed to do. Keep God's commandments. God is writing his laws in your heart and mind. And the first one is don't have any other gods. And you can read in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world." They're out there. So don't underestimate or forget that the world is being influenced by evil spirits. Now, God is higher. The holy angels outnumber the demons 2-1. So the smartest thing you can do is to stay close to God in prayer and Bible study. Because Satan broadcasts bad thoughts into people's minds. Mr. Armstrong taught the students and taught the church to understand the cause of all the world's problems, and that's Satan. Now, it says the dragon gave him his power and great authority, the Roman Empire, the beast power. Now, you see, first there was Babylon, and then that was overcome and swallowed up by Persia. And then Greece came along, and each empire gets a little bit bigger and swallows up the territory of the preceding one. Until the Roman Empire filled up the whole known world. You know, Alexander the Great cried because he had no kingdoms left to conquer. He conquered the whole world. And then later, the Roman Empire swallowed up all of his territory. I saw one of his heads wounded to death, but the deadly wound was healed. So the Roman Empire fell. You read about the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. It happened gradually, but when Rome itself, the city of Rome, the capital city, fell, that was in 476 AD. So that is the date assigned to the fall of the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire fell gradually over a long, long period of time. It declined and fell. But it fell, then its deadly wound was healed, and it was resurrected. The first imperial restoration by Justinian, 554 AD. He recognized the supremacy of this world's Christianity. Then the Frankish kingdom began 774. Charlemagne crowned in 800 AD. The Holy Roman Empire, the German head, Otto the Great, 962 AD. The Habsburg dynasty, Charles V, crowned 1520. Napoleon's kingdom, the French head, crowned in 1805. In 1814, just 1260 years after the deadly wound was healed, the Holy Roman Empire was dissolved. So closed a government that dated from Augustus Caesar. Then Italy, united by Garibaldi, 1870 to 1945, that would include Hitler's Third Reich. And then The seventh resurrection is yet to come, a revived Roman Empire by 10 rulers under one leader. Let's read on here in Revelation 17 now. Verse 8, "The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. The beast power comes and goes." But you see, God in his wisdom allowed the US and BC to spring up in history. And the modern descendants of Joseph were more powerful than the beast power in the last few hundred years. Now God allowed that. Let me just turn to Hosea chapter 6. In verse 2, "After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." That's millennial days. In the middle of the fourth millennial day, God cast Israel out of the promised land. And in the middle of the sixth millennial day, he caused the United States and Britain to become the world's greatest single nation and group of nations that ever existed. Now, God cast Israel out of the promised land for, well, it's been 2,500 years now, and God's going to run them through the Great Tribulation and then restore Israel permanently in the beginning of the seventh millennial day. Now, meanwhile, back in Revelation 17, "The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth will wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was a long time ago, the old Roman Empire and its resurrections in the Middle Ages. The beast was, and then it isn't, but it's going to come back." Now verse 9, "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. The other is not yet come, and when he comes, he will continue for a short while." Now, I want to stop and explain something that I was thinking about. I don't want to fail to explain this in this Bible study, so I'm going to inject it right in here right now. God gave the law on the third millennial day. Now, God's law, the Ten Commandments, were already in force from the time of Adam. Mr. Armstrong wrote an article on that. Were the Ten Commandments in force before Moses? And the answer is yes, absolutely yes. But God explained it. He brought it to light to the children of Israel in the days of Moses. God gave his law for mankind. He explained the difference between right and wrong on the third millennial day, right in the middle of it. In the days of Moses, you know, he thundered the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, and the people were afraid to hear God's voice anymore. So God just spoke to Moses privately inside of the tabernacle, and then Moses wrote it down, all the statutes and the judgments and everything. God gave his law. He's made it known. And Paul said in Romans chapters 2 and 3 that the advantage of being a Jew is that they knew the law. They had the knowledge from God. And they preserved the Bible. 1,000 years later, in the middle of the fourth millennial day, God cast Israel and Judah out of the promised land. And then in the middle of the sixth millennial day, God raised up the United States and British Commonwealth of Nations. And they became immensely powerful, more powerful than the beast power of the Middle Ages, more powerful than any other nation or company of nations ever. And they formed their own government, and they failed to look back to the law of God given to Israel in the days of Moses. They set up their own governments on their own ideas. And they had this idea of nature and nature's God, who bestowed on all human beings liberty. And nobody had the right to rule over anybody. And if we were going to form a government over here, we'll do it this way. You know, we'd separate the three branches of government, and the Congress will make the laws. And, you know, we certainly won't obey the King of England or anyone else. We'll figure it out on our own. So Congress makes the laws, and the president is not one who has total dictatorial powers. He has to abide by the law and administer it. And then the Supreme Court would decide the cases that would come up to interpret the law. But where was God's law in all of this? What I'm saying, and my point is, instead of looking to God's law, they came up with their own kind of government. They printed on the money, "In God we trust," and they swear on the Bible to take the oath of the presidency. But the Bible says things that are higher. Now, one reason why the founders didn't seem to be able to go back to Deuteronomy and the five books of Moses and just follow God's law is this woman that rides the beast and wrote it during the Middle Ages was so powerful and so deceptive. And the false doctrines of false Christianity were based on a twisting of Paul's writings. And they would say that Paul did away with the law, or the New Testament does away with the law of the Old Testament. Jesus and the apostles kept the law and taught the law of God. The Puritans who came over here in the 1600s, they were mixed up too. Now they believed in Christianity. They believed in God's promises to Abraham. They believed in the God of the Bible. And they wanted to establish his teaching and his government over the colonies. They really did. They wanted to do that. But they were still all mixed up by the deceptions that were upon Europe in the Middle Ages because of this woman that rides the beast. The deceptions were so prevalent. So they kept Sunday. They didn't have the holy days. But they read their Bibles anyway, and they got a lot of truth out of there. And they did the best that they could. And it seems as if God honored that, because God blessed the United States on a foundation of belief in the Bible, even though they were still mixed up on certain things like the Sabbath. And yet, the true church came over here too, and Mr. Armstrong found it. Now, we know what Mr. Armstrong did from 1934 to 1986. For over 50 years, God's truth went out from the worldwide Church of God, broadcast all over the world. Now, that came from within the United States, and the Ambassador Auditorium is still a monument to what the worldwide Church of God was. God sent a blast of his truth out for 50 years, 50 plus years. Okay, now, meanwhile, the sixth resurrection of the Roman Empire came and went. Now, we're waiting for the seventh one to emerge. Verse 10, "And there are seven kings, five have fallen, one is," we relate that to Mr. Armstrong's time, "and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue for a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and he is of the seven, and goes into perdition." Now, I remember Mr. Armstrong explaining in a sermon at Ambassador College that most people get confused about that verse. But it's really quite simple. And the explanation is that the seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire is the eighth Roman system. It's one of the seven resurrections, and it's the eighth Roman Empire. Really quite easy to understand. "And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast." Now, just keep your finger there, but go down to verse 17. "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Now, you see, right now, God the Father is sitting on his throne up in heaven, and he's looking down on Europe also, and he's going to put it into the hearts of the nations over there to form the ten kings, which are the ten horns on the last resurrection of the beast, which are also the ten toes of the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about in Daniel chapter 2. Now this thing is going to happen, and God is going to put it in the heart of 10 nations to form the seventh resurrection. And what is the purpose of any of the resurrections of the Roman Empire or of the beast system in general, going all the way back to the original Babylon in the middle of the fourth millennial day? It's God's spanking stick to administer punishment on his people Israel. You read that in Jeremiah 50 and 51. It's God's spanking stick. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 10, except Isaiah 10 applies it to the nation of Assyria, which was God's spanking stick to punish what became the lost 10 tribes of Israel before the time of Babylon. And then those prophecies got transferred over to Babylon. And the reason for that, in a nutshell, is because Hezekiah launched a national repentance for Judah. And so Judah lasted 130 years later, or longer, than Israel. The 10 tribes were sent off into captivity by the Assyrian army, the most powerful empire up to that time. And then the Assyria prophecies just got transferred over to Babylon 130 years later. And God turned over the world to Babylon in the middle of the fourth millennial day. This is what God had in mind, I'm sure, going way back to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 in the days of Moses, the blessings and cursings chapters. And God had his seven millennial days all figured out from the beginning. In the creation account, God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That was a blueprint of what God was going to do, because 1,000 years are as a day to God. God had it all figured out from the beginning. All right. So the middle of the fourth millennial day came along, and just like God put the moon up in the sky on the fourth day to rule the night, God turned his earth over to Babylon for a while. So it's been 2,500 years now. And now this seventh resurrection is forming. Now in verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. How about that? They're going to fight Christ at his second coming. But the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Let's go back to Revelation 7. It says, after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, which represent the first four trumpet plagues, so that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And Mr. Armstrong said, something is holding back world events. Mr. Armstrong knew that the seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire would come way back, right after World War II. Now, Mr. Armstrong used to say that something is holding back, God is holding back world events. Now, Mr. Armstrong knew that Europe would rise again, and there would be a union of 10 nations that would fight Christ at his second coming, and it didn't happen, but it's going to come. So he was preaching that Europe will rise again. As I said, the last booklet he sent out before he died was this one about who or what is the prophetic beast. Now, we're supposed to be watching world events. You know, the last verse of Mark chapter 13 says, what I say to you, I say unto all, watch. Don't fall asleep. Be watching. Now, these things are going to come. Now, God said to the angels holding back the first four trumpet plagues, don't let them blow until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, we're not going to explain the whole chapter, but God is going to see to it that some people survive the great tribulation that's going to come. Now, God's going to shake the heaven and the earth. It's going to be the worst time of trouble that ever was or ever will be. And God's purpose is to eliminate all the rebels from the face of the earth, and to bring whoever will be willing to obey his government to become the first generation of the world tomorrow. We've talked about that dozens of times, maybe 100 times. We've talked about that over and over again. But we're supposed to be watching. Now, 30 years have gone by since Mr. Armstrong died. Why? Why is God doing it this way? Why did God allow events to be held back this long? But they will come, you see. They will come. And we've read even recently in chapter 8, starting in about verse 6, where it says, "And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared to sound, and then the winds start to blow." Now God's going to allow this. Now God sent the flood in the days of Noah, and all the people died except for Noah and his family. 8 people survived. Now, God allowed maybe even 120 years there for Noah to build the ark, and that was kind of like a warning, and the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. He was setting a good example. And they laughed at him, no doubt, and mocked him. But then the flood did come, and God saved Noah and his family. And a lot of people died, but they're going to come up in the great white throne resurrection. Well, let's go back to 2 Peter 3. Now, what I'm saying is, it looks like events may not be held up much longer. And we've got to be watching these things and ready. Now, in 2 Peter 3, 6, "The world was once overflowed with water and perished, but the one that exists now is being reserved for fire." Now, verse 8, "But beloved, don't forget that 1,000 years are as a day to God." Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he's patient, not wanting anybody to perish, but hoping that everybody would come to repentance." Wouldn't it be nice if everybody on the face of the earth repented and was qualified to become the first generation of the new world under Christ's government? Now, God already sent a blast of his truth for over 50 years through Mr. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God. It went out clear as a bell, plain as day. We still have Mr. Armstrong's booklets and can read them anytime we want to. But God has allowed 30 years to go by since he died, and you know, people came along and changed the teachings and got everybody all into a mental fog now. Now, I want to go back to Daniel chapter 8. Now, these things are coming. Now, why are they coming? For the same reason the original Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar was used as a spanking stick to punish the Jews in Jeremiah's time, because they wouldn't obey God. Just read the book of Jeremiah. Get a clear explanation on that. It's no mystery why God punished Israel and Judah. They wouldn't keep his law that he revealed in the days of Moses. Now, in verse 11, Daniel 8, "He magnified himself to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sacrifice was cast down, and a host, or an army, was given to him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered." Now, the daily sacrifices, well, they represent, in the New Testament, they represent Christ's sacrifice and the one true religion that Christ and the apostles taught. Christ's sacrifice replaces the Old Testament sacrifices. You read that in Hebrews chapter 10. Because Christ has been sacrificed once, you don't need the Old Testament sacrifices anymore. The temple pictures the saints who form the church of God. They're the temple of the New Testament. They're going to come up in the first resurrection. The abomination of desolation is a polluted temple. It represents false Christianity, the official religion of the Roman Empire, the state-sponsored religion. It looked like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. That's what this abomination of desolation is. The daily sacrifices are a code name for the true religion. Christ brought it. Christ is the sacrifice. You can ask God to apply Christ's sacrifice to you daily, every day of the year. You can repent and ask God to start your day off with a clean slate where you're totally forgiven. We all sin a little bit every day because we're not perfect yet. You may have a wrong thought. 2 Corinthians 10 says to bring every thought into captivity. Satan may be able to slip a bad attitude into you halfway through the day if you haven't been praying enough during the day. You know, praying constantly, the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Well, be in an attitude of prayer. Have a good attitude all day long and stay close to God. Pray three times a day, in the morning, in the middle of the day, and then in the evening too. Stay close to God. Now, we need Christ's sacrifice every day, and we need God's Spirit all the time. All right. Now, here's a force that pollutes the temple and takes away the daily sacrifices. You might say they nullify Christ's sacrifice because it deceives people by their teaching. That's what the woman who rides the beast does. It makes the world drunk with the wine of her fornication. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to the first one, "How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" You know, there's something in Revelation 11 about that. "And he said to me, unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed." I wrote in the margin, on verse 13, "How long will false Christianity fill the world?" This abomination of desolation. And in verse 14, I wrote, "True religion shall be restored on the earth." And I put Isaiah 11:9 as a reference. "The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the seas." Now, right now, between Christ's first and second comings, the whole world is deceived with a false Christianity. That's the abomination of desolation. It's been around ever since after the death of the apostles. New leaders came along and changed the teaching. And it grew till it became the official religion of the Roman Empire. The woman that rides the beast, the image of the beast, the little horn sticking up on the fourth beast of Daniel 7. It's all the same thing. The little horn sticking up in Daniel 7 on the fourth beast is a long-distance view of the beast. But in Revelation 17, it's a close-up of the beast, and that little horn turns out to be a woman riding it. It's like a woman riding an elephant or something. But from a long-distance view, it looks like a little horn sticking up on the fourth beast. But it's blasphemous. It blasphemes God. It deceives the world. It's horrible. Dropping down, verse 23, "In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences will stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power," because Satan is behind all of it. "And he shall destroy extraordinarily." This is the civil leader of the seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire, and the character and nature of the European Union is going to change dramatically, like the difference between day and night. It's not going to be a nice thing anymore. "He shall destroy extraordinarily, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Now, who are the mighty and the holy people? Well, that's easy. In Daniel 9, verse 20, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel." That's Daniel's people. My people Israel. I see, they are the mighty and the holy people. And they are going to be destroyed. Now, the seventh resurrection will be destroyed by Christ at his second coming. But they have corrupted the world. Now in Daniel 11, verse 31, "And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength." and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination of desolation. In 168 BC, they placed a statue of Jupiter Olympus in the physical temple in Jerusalem, and the Maccabees came and fought valiantly to try to retain their truth. And that becomes symbolic of something much bigger, because Jesus said, you'll see the abomination of desolation yet to come. Now, in verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Now here's church history, the history of the true church, down through the last 2,000 years. And they that understand among the people will instruct many, yet they'll fall by sword, flame, and captivity, and spoil many days. Well, you would be declared a heretic for obeying God in the Middle Ages if they caught up with you, if you didn't flee to parts unknown. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. Now the seven eras of the true church kept on going through the Middle Ages and on down to our time. The church has not been stamped out. You can't stamp out the true church totally. They can try. They'll be helped with a little help, but many will cleave to them with flatteries. That's like that parable of the wheat and the tares. Jesus said that the wheat and the tares would be mixed together until the harvest. Let them grow together until the harvest. And then burn up the tares and gather the wheat into my barn. Now, we've had liberals in the church. They were the third category of the parable of the sower and the seed. But then there have been the true faithful members too, like Mr. Armstrong and whoever's been faithful, and God knows who his people are. But some of them of understanding, verse 35, will fall to try them and to purge them and to make them white even until the time of the end, because it's yet for a time appointed. Now that's the history of the true church. The true church has had its troubles, but it's kept on going. Now Christ is the head of the true church, and he's up there to help anyone who calls on him. Now, verse 36. Now it's talking about the beast power, the Roman Empire and its seven resurrections. And the king, or kingdom, interpreted in Daniel 7, 17 and 23, the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Now the Roman emperors wanted to be worshipped as if they were God. And they shall speak marvelous things against the true God, the God of gods, and they'll prosper until the indignation is accomplished. The whole Roman Empire and its ways were just an abomination to God. And yet Paul told the Christians to obey the powers that be, because the powers that be are ordained by God. So even God was allowing the Roman Empire, because it was the fourth of the four world-ruling empires in Daniel chapter 7. But the laws of God come first. Now, Jesus Christ was crucified by the Roman Empire. When Pilate had him crucified, he was representing the Roman Empire. Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you? Or let you go? And Jesus said, you'd have no power at all if God didn't allow it. God was just allowing the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is going to fall.